If you're a cleaning business owner and want to build a team of reliable, hardworking staff, but are unsure of where these unicorns are at, well, I put together a free course that shows you how to find, hire, and retain these superstar cleaners, plus how to hire virtual assistants. So if that's up your alley, head over to loganscleaningco.com/recruiting course, and you can access the course absolutely free, and there's no opt-in required. So hope you enjoy, and now back to the show.
All right, so this is in response to Christine's question about homeschooling our children. And so you have two questions. And first question is, like, how do you ensure your daughter still has enough social interaction with kids her age? Don't want her to do her disservice in terms of social skills and learning to build relationships. And the second question, how do I ensure the homeschool responsibility does not distract from my focus, from my business goals? Have you pulled in others to help support and educate on the education piece or the reverse?
Welcome to the Everything Goes My Way podcast, where I share how to get more clients, increase sales, build a business that runs without you, and the many mistakes I've made on the journey. So hope you get value and subscribe.
Let me just give our situation first so you understand it. And again, this is our situation. Simply allows you to have a framework from which how we make a decision. Like, what we do is not going to be exactly how you do it, because we have a different situation. In fact, we have two kids. We have one that is almost 14, she's 13, and we have one that is 4. And so there's a big difference. And so what we do is different than what you are going to do. So I'll talk about our little first. That's going to have the most, probably the most carryover to what you're doing. And then we'll actually explain our philosophy, our reasoning for how we do our older child Rin. So with the youngest one, she's 4. And what we are going to do with her, again, like, because she's 4, she's not even school age yet. She will not go to public school. She will be, quote unquote, homeschooled. Katie, are you going to homeschool her?
No.
Why not?
I'm not a teacher.
Right. So first and foremost, like, 95% of people, like, you can stop right here, because, like, we're not actually going to homeschool our kids personally. And so if that is your goal, like, we're probably not going to be the best of help for you. Cool. So anyone who, like, wants to hear, like, how they homeschool people, like, that's not us. So for the other 5% of people who are like, okay, still interested, what are we going to do?
We will hire an educator to come into our home to facilitate the basic education things. Now, does this mean that we actually do not teach her anything?
What is basics? This is actually good.
Math and reading.
And?
Writing, yeah.
Yeah. So those are the three basic
English,
functions.
Math.
Yeah. Those are the three basic things that are from foundational level that we actually agree with on school, like reading, writing, and arithmetic, right? Those are the three things that school teaches that we actually use. Do you actually use those three things? Like,
every day.
Every day, right? So those are important. And so a foundational level of education, that's what we're going to provide for our 4-year-old. And obviously, as she continues to get older, she continue to practice and get better at those skills. Now, what you were talking about is, like, okay, so those are the basics. Well, in-home educator coming in and, like, teach those specifically, you were going to say something along the lines of, like, that's, like, that we're not going, well, we are going to teach her, we're not going to teach her, we're not going to teach
her. Is that the extent of education in our home? Is having somebody come in and educate her on reading, writing, and math? Is that all we're going to do?
Absolutely not. And before we talk about, like, what our role is in the education piece, what are other pieces that we have already started doing and will continue to facilitate for our kids outside of the skill sets of reading, writing, and math?
Yeah, home skills. So because we're all in the same house together all day long, we work from home, the kids are home, activities are out of the house most of the time, but they still have some in the house. Home base needs a system. So our kids have responsibilities like laundry, like cleaning, like the dishes. Like making their beds every single day. Little things that, you know, are the stress causers for parents. When you come home at the end of the day, or you go upstairs out of your office at the end of the day and the house is a freaking disaster and there's kids running around everywhere, like, does that help you or does that hurt you? Is it okay to teach your kid to clean up after themselves? Yeah, that's a lifelong skill that will serve them forever.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think the basics is understanding basic structure around the house. But as far as, like, skill sets, like, I want to teach my kids skills, but I don't need to be the one teaching them reading, writing, and math, because that's not my strong point. Also, I don't want to have to be the one who's, like, picking up after them and having to basically do things that they could do themselves. So our number one goal with our kids is make them self-sufficient, which means that they have the capability to survive without us, right? They have the desire, or they do not need us, but they want us, okay? And so that way, it gives us the bandwidth and attention to actually teach them what I consider cool shit, right? So to me, what is cool shit? Like the number one skill set that I am like if I could just give my kids one skill that I believe that only I and Katie can provide to them, that no one else will teach them, is the skill of emotional intelligence. And to me, the definition of emotional intelligence is to be able to act despite emotions. So, an example. I feel mad. The emotional intelligent person acts happy. I feel fear. The emotional intelligent person acts with courage. Right? And you continue to go down the emotions that are going to move us towards a positive outcome. And it's okay to experience the feelings of all the what we consider a negative emotion, but still act despite that emotion. So to me, that's number one. Okay. I think everything initially builds off that, but then other skill sets that like I want to teach my kids is honestly like how to use money, how to be a good human, how to be someone who serves over someone who's selfish, how to take responsibility over having victimhood. Like those are the things that I want to teach my kids. Right? Those are the things that I believe that I am qualified to do to teach my kids. Like I don't think I can actually hire somebody to do those things. If I did, I would probably bring them in. But at this moment in my life, like I believe that I am best served to teach my kids those skill sets.
And the coolest part about emotional intelligence as a base is it can be taught at any age. Yeah. So our 13-year-old can still be taught emotional intelligence as well as our 4-year-old. Now, when it comes to like responsibilities,
So can a
34-year-old. When it comes to responsibilities in the house, obviously there is age-appropriate things. Like the 4-year-old is not cooking eggs on the gas stove. So there is some age-appropriate things that have to be taken into consideration in terms of responsibilities in the house. But your kids, honestly, can do way more than you give them credit for doing. Like, first, like, I'm guilty of this. Logan is not guilty of this. He makes the kids do everything, which is amazing. And sometimes I'm like, she doesn't know how to do that. And he's like, well, let's slow down. Because if she can learn it right here, it will save us immense amounts of time in the future. And that's the only way that she's actually going to learn how to do it, is if we slow down and take the time to teach her. So something as simple as washing your hair. Like today, I was like, oh, I have to go wash the baby's hair in the bathtub. She's been in the bathtub for an hour. She's still in the bathtub right now because I haven't washed her hair. Do you think that she's old enough to wash her hair? I'm like, no, I have to do that for her. But do I really actually have to do that for her? Or should I, am I selling her short on her own abilities by not teaching her how to do her own hair?
Yeah, I think there's something really powerful about that. And there's like a, there's this turning point in a child's life when they're first born. They absolutely need you as the mother, specifically, right? And then as the kid gets older, they need you less and less. However, most parents, and I'll probably pick on women specifically because I think this is more of a innate feeling and desire inside of women specifically to be nurturers. And sometimes that nurturing gets confused with like being necessary versus being a preference. And I think a lot of it is like fear and insecurity of the parent. They're like, well, what if my kid doesn't need me anymore? Then what?
Good. Isn't that the point of being a parent?
It's
to raise self-sufficient individuals.
And it's amazing because if we look at it from the point of the child, the answer is good.
Yeah.
If you look at it from the point of you, bad.
Well, now I'm not needed.
Right? And so ultimately, going back to the foundation of like serving versus selfish, most parents are selfish. They're selfish because they rob their child the potential, the practice, really like the safeguarded practice to learn skill sets in their household with literally like the floor is very soft and cushy. But instead, they wait until the kid's 18 to let them start practicing, and then all of a sudden that floor gets a little bit harder. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden when they start to fall, they start to feel bruises and blood, where when they're in your home, they can actually just land on a nice, cushy, soft flooring and never feel anything. And so it's very much serving to give your kids, to empower your kids, the opportunity to learn skills as practice, make mistakes, learn from them, learn persistence, understand that perfection is the lowest possible standard, persistence is the only standard, and you only do that by practicing.
It's awesome.
Right? So, social skills and relationships. So this goes back to the second piece of this. So reading, writing, arithmetic, we have somebody come in. Our goal is basically to teach our kid how to human. And then the next step is like, what about special skill sets? And so we have our kids in swimming, piano, gymnastics. And so, and there's other things that are, again, are capabilities, but this is how you get social interaction. Okay. Is you put them in activities, learning skill sets. Another thing that we have talked about, which we, plan on doing, is like other sort of like musical activities. So whether it's singing, whether it's guitar, right? These are other things that you can put people into, that your kids into, that give them an opportunity to learn other skill sets, and they get some interaction. Now, I think the question actually is directed towards like, what about peer-to-peer interaction? So with our four-year-old, like, how does she get her peer-to-peer interaction?
Yeah, we go to the park.
Seriously. Like, she gets most of her human, her peer-to-peer interaction through going to, like, a public park. And in the middle of the day, like, there's kids there.
I think this is important because sometimes we think that our kids need to be surrounded by kids their age more. And the truth is what do kids their age teach them?
Like, how to cuss.
If a four-year-old is only surrounded by four-year-olds, will they ever excel in anything beyond what the most capable four-year-old in that group will do?
Dude, this is really good. This is really good. So I don't think we're going to go here, but like, have you heard that quote? Like, you are the culmination of the top five people that you hang around with.
Yeah. So if you're only going to put your kid around other kids, like, they're going to act like a kid forever.
Yeah.
Whereas our four-year-old, I mean, literally, truth be told, can play Monopoly. The box says 8+ on Monopoly, but our four-year-old plays Monopoly with us. In fact, she won last night. So if you put your kids around people who will elevate them, who will level them up, the opportunity for them to level up is substantially higher than putting them in a box with other four-year-olds.
Okay, and this is actually really cool too. So I think the overview of this entire, like, the whole reason that our goal is to make as much money as humanly possible, to become financially free, is that we get to choose our life. We get to choose to have our kids with us in our life. And so if the financial resources are not there that you can be with your kids at home and have them with you, then they're going to be where?
At school.
Or if they're young, like Landon, they're going to be
at preschool or daycare.
At preschool, daycare. So the top five people that are going to be hanging out with are other little kids and teachers, right? The people who work there, which, again, it is what it is. But is my kid going to get more value from hanging out with you and me and our oldest daughter and our friends than she would going to preschool or going to school?
Yes.
100%, right? So this is back to, like, why you need to make a lot of money. Why you need to be able to be financially free to be able to make sure that you can be in your kids' lives. Because here's the actual facts, is that at 18, they're going to be gone. Or at least in our house, they gone. They ain't hanging around here anymore, right?
Okay, but I have a question, because this is something that's going to get asked. Like, why you're making them lose the opportunity to be a kid. You're putting too much responsibility on them.
Yeah. So what is opportunity being a kid? Like, tell me what a kid needs as an opportunity that they would be missing out. Like, not to be missing out, like, what does a kid need in your eyes?
Yeah, mine. I mean, they need to be responsible, honestly. But this is something that I think we will get a lot of questioning about.
I guess the question I would have is then, like, what do you think the kid needs?
Freedom, friends, doing kid things, like running around at the park.
Do you take Lane to the park?
Yeah,
absolutely. Do I take Lane to the park?
Yeah.
Do we sometimes, does she go multiple times a day?
Yeah, sometimes.
Okay, so we got that. Kid interaction.
Yep.
From the park, right? A lot of the activities that we do, like swimming, for example, gymnastics, are there other kids there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What else?
I don't know.
All right. I guess the only thing we're missing now is they need to go to school to learn how to cuss and to say bad words and to and have negative views from all their teachers. Maybe that's what they're missing out on. I don't know.
And right? Shame on you kids for talking between breaks and classes, because yeah. This is passing period. This is time for you to get from one class to the next to learn what...
No communication.
Forget your social skills.
Keep your mouth shut and raise your hand.
So Logan and I went to...
That works really, really well in business.
We went to orientation.
That works really well in real life.
We went to orientation at middle school, and our...
Great transition.
13-year-old, we sat at orientation, and, like, literally the teacher was, like, telling the parents to tell the kids, their own kids, not to talk during passing periods. Because this is school. We are here to learn. We are not here to socialize. We are not here to learn any other skills except for what I teach you as the teacher. And, therefore, anything that I... don't have control over your passing periods, you need to just put your head down and walk to your next class.
Yeah. Ridiculous. Ridiculous. Right? Which, like, there's so many points I could touch on in that, but I think the number one thing to me is that, like, that teacher right there is going to be around our kids 8 hours a day. They're the ones who are the quote-unquote mentor to our kids, and I look at that person as, like, do I want my kid to have be that person to be their role model?
And if it's yes, it's okay. If it's no, how do you change that?
Yeah. And from a standpoint of, like, success, and money doesn't create all success. However, it has a big piece of it, because money gives you options, money gives you choices, right? And so, like, truth be told, there is no teachers who are financially free. There's not, right? Not a lot. Let me take that back. There's not a lot of teachers. The majority of them are not going to be financially free, right? Like, it's hard to be financially free when I'm making $50,000 a year at most. So, would you think that your kid's going to get better mentorship from being around you all day or being around a teacher all day?
Well, it depends. Do you have the bandwidth to actually mentor them in a emotionally intelligent space? Or are you so frazzled by your business that you just use them as a punching bag?
Yeah. I think it's more along the lines of, like, would you rather them in your household, in your environment that you can control,
yes,
than in an environment that somebody else controls, and they have their own agenda? And do they actually have the best interest of your kid in mind? Like, who truly has the best interest? I'm not saying they don't have the best interest, but who has the best? Who has the highest and, like, wants your kid to succeed the most?
Me.
Okay, then give that person the most control.
Yeah.
Over who comes to your house, whether it's you doing the homeschooling, or whether you choose the person who comes to your home, into your home to school to your kids, like, ultimately, you're responsible for it. Right, so it's a high degree of responsibility to actually bring somebody into your home and teach and have them teach you how to do it, or have them teach your kids how to do something, than just, like, passing it on to the school and say, okay, it's on you, and then if it doesn't work out, you can blame. Highest form of victimhood. Okay, and so so with our older child, she was in school all the way through 7th grade.
Public school, yes.
A public school, yes. And so with her, we do a online charter school. So she actually is still technically in public school, but she does it online. And so for 2 hours a day, she has school with a teacher who is part of our school district. And from 7:30 a.m. to 9:30 a.m., she has school. Literally for 2 hours a day. For the rest of the day, she's out of school.
She's with us.
Like, and even when she's in school, she's on a Zoom call. So it's amazing how much schooling can get done in 2 hours. Apparently all of it. And we're like, wow, what else do they do with their time? And so that is how we do our oldest. It works really well because she's 13 years old. So literally, like, how much schooling do you help her with?
None. Almost. She's very self-sufficient. Yeah. She's very responsible in that aspect. She is eager to learn. So this is a little bit of her personality. I don't have to force her to sit in front of the computer during school hours. She's kind of a self-motivated, self-driven person in that manner.
Yeah. Cool. And that's our philosophy on the homeschooling of the older one and the younger one. And ultimately, I think your second question, I think, is answered in our first path of this, is that we don't actually do the homeschooling, but it is our responsibility to put the person in charge of doing the homeschooling. So again, like, kind of like how you run a business, is like, Kitty, in our businesses, are you the doer? Are you the one who fulfills the service?
No.
Right? And so this is the same thing in a parenting business, is that are you the one who fulfills the homeschooling?
No.
But is it your job to find the person to fulfill the homeschooling?
100%,
same, yes, thing like in the business, our job to find the person who's going to fulfill the service, right?
Yeah.
And so, again, like, the same skill sets that you learn from growing a business a scale business is the same skill sets you learn to grow your family and give your children the best opportunity. And I promise you, most likely, 95%, like, there's somebody out there who can educate your kids better than you can, and it's your job to basically interview all these people to find out the person who has the best alignment, and then they have their attention on that. So you have your attention on growing your business, and your attention on growing your kids as a human and not doing basic things like reading, writing, math that somebody else is like skilled at and can do. And then of course other things like any other skill sets you want to teach them, give it to a professional. Give it to somebody who's like, that's their only job. And this is like very similar to how you run a business. Is like, if you find somebody who's good at sales, like, have them do sales. If you find somebody who's good at doing marketing, have them do marketing, right? Instead of having a jack of all trades, like, having somebody specific in one role is beneficial to your business. It's beneficial to your kids' business to have somebody specifically who's really, really good at piano, who's really, really good at swimming, who's really, really good at reading and writing and math. And you can be the operator. You can be the one who gives the wisdom. You can be the one who sits back and just makes sure that everyone's doing their job. Pretty cool, right? Okay, anything you want to add to that?
No. I just think that to bring it home, there's, again, this is what works for us. There's no right or wrong situation when it comes to raising your kids and homeschooling and parenting. So if what you're doing right now works, keep doing it. If what you're doing right now you think could be improved, then find small ways to inch forward and continue to improve it. It hasn't always been this way for us, so we're always a work in progress. We're always looking for ways to improve our own home life. But this is what's worked for us.
Yeah. It will continue to improve. It will continue to evolve. Our philosophy will continue to evolve. And like, this is what we know right now. And we could do another one of these videos in the future. And we can kind of share what we've learned along the way. But hopefully this gives you a framework to start from and give you some ideas of how we make decisions. And then you can take that and you can start. And you can like put your thoughts into action and ultimately get closer to your goal. So if you know what your goal is, like, if you want your kids homeschooled, you want them home with you, make that the goal and then create the plan that step by step gets you closer to that goal.
Love it. So, Christine, appreciate you for asking this question and hope you found some value from this video.